Emotional pain. The Lord laid this burden on my heart some time ago, and it's been enlightening to me and studying about it. In the scriptures, the word emotion is not there. It's a newer word that was coined after the translation. Anyway, you won't find the word emotion. So spirit is used in the place of the word emotion. But emotion, I want to read the definition of what emotion is. It's very simple. I think we all can identify. It's a strong feeling or any specific feeling. Emotion is joy. It's sorrow. It's hurt. It's love, peace, anger, anxiety. It's excitement or it's fear. It's jealousy. It's disappointment, relief, pleasure. All of these things are emotions, and we all have them. We're all human. And when we're born with emotions. Pain is a sensation of hurting. It's caused by injury or disease transmitted by the nervous system. Now, I want to say this. I'm going to say it twice. Our nerves, the nervous system in our physical body, it reports physical pain to our brain. For instance, if we get hurt, our nerves in our body, that's all over our body, every part of our body that connects together, there's little transmitters, and it goes all the way through our body up to our brain, and it says, you stubbed your big toe. Hurts, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. That is physical pain. But emotional pain is when our mind reports the emotional feelings to our brain, to our nervous system. When we get hurt emotionally, it is our mind that records it. Our mind, thinking part of our body, reports to our brain, hurt, hurt. Then our nerves will react to it many times. That's how, like, for instance, when you get up to stand before a crowd, like right now, you get these butterflies in your stomach. It's nerves. I'm anxious, a little anxious, you know. So my stomach is a little bit nervous, and I get these little butterflies in my stomach. It's because my mind is telling my brain, you're in front of a lot of people, and you're nervous. And so that nervousness then reports to my nerve system, and my nerve system kind of makes, you know, makes butterflies, or it makes you tremble. Or how about fear? If you get scared, you know, somebody scares you, and your brain, scared, I'm scared. So what happens? You'll scream, and you feel these little prickles go up your back. Your nerves is reporting. Well, they're being told that your brain, your mind, said, you're scared. So your brain says, nerves. And your nerves go, tickle, tickle, tickle. And this is how we are. We're made this way. This is the way our body is. And I want to illustrate a little bit about, there's three basic reactions that we have when we have emotional pain. And like I said, the Bible doesn't use the word emotions. It uses the word spirit, heart, mind, things like that. But it does not really say anything about emotion, but we can get the picture. But I want to illustrate something. I brought this, this came to my mind to show you the three ways that we react to physical, well, actually to emotional pain. I'm going to bring this out here where you can see it. Okay, I got this hammer. It's my little hammer. It's real heavy. Okay, I'm going to hit this nail with the hammer. Y'all see my nail? Pretty big, isn't it? Okay? So I get this nail down here, and I'm going to hit this hammer, and instead of hitting the nail, I hit the wrong nail. I hit my thumb. I hit my thumb. I hit the wrong nail. I didn't hit the nail. I hit my thumb. Okay. First reaction. Did anybody see? Did anybody see it? It hurt. But I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you that it hurt. Because it's embarrassing. I hit my nail with the hammer, and if you're a carpenter, you'll really think I'm stupid. Hit, you know, my nail, I'm not even going to be able to anybody that I got my thumb hurt. I'm hiding it. Do we do that with emotional pain? You think about it. How many prayer requests do you hear somebody say, "Oh, I feel really sad. I feel anxious. Would you please pray for me? I'm having an anxiety attack. Please pray for me." Have you ever heard that prayer request? Have you ever heard anybody say, "Somebody hurt my feelings really bad today. They spoke really harsh to me and it really hurt my feelings and I'm having trouble with this. Would you please pray for me?" Has anybody ever requested prayer like that? We don't hear that, do we? And we mask it. We got hurt. Maybe somebody at the job spoke harsh to us and chewed us out about something. And we mask it because we cannot scold or get back at that person, so we mask it. And we go out and somebody says, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine." And then we go home and I'm just saying, and we're hurting. And sometimes we'll keep it in and then sometimes we'll strike out at somebody else because we got hurt. And we're holding it in. We're holding it in tight because we got hurt and we can't strike at the person that hurt us, so we're going to strike at somebody weaker that we can get at. It's a retaliation. That's another reaction. I could hit my thumb with the nail like this. Have it down here and hit my thumb with the nail and I can hit it really hard and I can say, "That bad hammer, dumb hammer. It was the hammer's fault that hurt my nail." That's another reaction to what happens when we get hurt emotionally. We blame the hammer or we blame the cause. We retaliate. We retaliate. We say, and I've seen people do it. Have you ever seen anybody hurt themselves with a hammer? Hit the nail and then they throw the hammer? Hammer caused the problem. Like this older man I was telling some about the other day. I was with him and he was taking his blood pressure, and he was pumping up the blood pressure machine, had the cuff on his arm. He was pumping up the machine, and the machine read 194 over 86. Nope. He let it go down. Pumped it up again, and it said 193 over 82. Nope. Pumped it, let it go down. Pumped it up again, and it said maybe 98 over 89 or something. Nope. Let it go back down. He pumped that machine up about 10 times trying to get a good reading, and finally he said, "I guess that's the best that machine's going to do." The blood pressure machine's fault. You know, and that's sometimes the way we do, isn't it? About emotional pain, you know, they hurt me and it's all their fault. That's another reaction. I guess this water is fresh. I'm going to take a drink of it. And then the other reaction can be, and we'll talk about it too, but I hit my thumb with the nail. And the hammer, where's my nail at? I hit my thumb again. And this time, whenever I hit my thumb, got the nail there, and I hit my thumb with the nail, with the hammer, and they go, ouch, I hurt my thumb, I need a band-aid, help, somebody help me, quick. You know people like that? It's in the Bible. There's a person like that that's in the Bible. That when they got emotionally distressed, they started screaming, "Help! I need a band-aid!" for their emotions. And we're going to talk about that person. There's ways of dealing with emotional pain that's healthy, and then there's unhealthy ways. And I probably won't be able to cover everything tonight because it's a broad subject. And I'm going to just streamline a little, but there's a lot of things we can do. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to, let's say first Jeremiah 17 and 9. Jeremiah 17 and 9. He said there that the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The heart's deceitful. You know, we can sometimes deny when we're hurting because we don't want somebody else to know. And sometimes we even don't want ourselves to realize or acknowledge that we're hurt. And then sometimes we even think, well, just keep it from the Lord. I got hurt. They hurt me. But I'm not going to tell myself. I'm not going to tell anyone because it's just, it's embarrassing. It's shameful to me to be, why do I even feel these emotions, you know? And we just kind of like to mask them and even cover from ourselves what our feelings are. When my children were young, there was a group of little bears that came out, and they were called the Care Bears. I was talking about it with one of my children this week. And there was the Grumpy Bear, and there was the Sunshine Bear. And what these bears were to do, there were little songs that went with it. And it was to identify your emotions. That's very important. I saw a mom say not long ago, she was helping her children to identify their emotions, like if they were feeling sad, to know that's what you were feeling, that I'm feeling sad, and I need some comfort. So the other brother was hugging their brother, you know, and he was feeling sad. It's very good to know your emotions, because if you don't identify your emotions, how can you get help for them? How can you get help from somebody else, but above all from God? To be healthy, you need to know your emotions, and they're not bad. We all have them. Even anger is not a bad emotion if it's controlled in the right way. So emotions are very important for us to identify, to know. Whenever we feel hurt, that's okay. But we need to know what to do with it, because we all get hurt. So the scripture says, the Lord searches our heart, and he knows us. And there's so many times, whenever there's another scripture in Psalms that says, I lay upon my bed and I meditate, and I search my heart. There's so many times whenever I've asked the Lord, and it's important to do, Lord, why did I feel this way? And what was my emotion here? And why did I react that way? Because if we can identify our emotions, then it will help us know why we reacted the way we did. Why we did what we did. Why we said what we said. And maybe even sometimes we surprised ourselves. I said something. Why did I say that? Oh, it was a feeling I had. They ticked me off. Have you ever had somebody say that or felt that way? They ticked me off. What they said just ticked me. It just got me. And so I was going to reply back, you know? I was going to let them know that what they said just bugged me, bothered me. Well, that's an emotion that got stirred up. And like I said, not all emotions are bad, but we need to know and identify them and then be able to ask the Lord to help us with them some. And he is able. But anyway, there's another scripture I'd like for us to turn to. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, and starting with about the 23rd verse, Proverbs 4 and 23, I think this is a chapter that has a lot of really good pointers in it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with diligence. That's very important. Guard your heart. But guard your emotions, too. Like I said, the Bible doesn't use the word emotions. But when we think about our heart, and that's kind of another term that we can use for our feelings, our emotions, we need to guard them. For out of it comes the issues of life. What we feel is how we act. If we feel, like I said, sad, real sad, what we might cry. If we feel angry, you know, we might lash out. So there's keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then the next one says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. We're going to talk a little bit more about the mouth. In Proverbs 18 and 19, it talks about a brother that is offended. Now, like I said, whenever we hurt ourselves physically. We feel it from our nerves going up to our brain. But whenever we get hurt emotionally, it is our mind first that says, that person hurt me. They really said something bad that makes you feel down, depressed, disappointed, devalued. However, that whatever was said, and a lot of time, let's just read this passage here in Proverbs 18 and 19. It says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Let's get to the 21st verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Which way, or how could I, by what means are we most often hurt? By what means are we most often hurt emotionally by somebody else? By their mouth, right? By their words. Probably about 80% of the time. Now, sometimes it's actions. People can act bad. You know, like when you walk in a room, have you ever walked into a room and everybody ignores you? They just act like you're not even there. You know, that can make you feel kind of strange, you know? Or some things like that. Actions can hurt. But most of the time, it's what people have said to us that hurt the most. They'll say something sharp, something that makes us feel hurt, bad, disappointed, or angry. But it's often through words, and it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. The way that we use our mouth, our words, makes a big difference in somebody else's feelings. Is that important that we are careful about other people's feelings too? I think so, yes. Because, like I said, we all have them. And we all know that we don't want our brother or sister or somebody else to go away from our presence feeling they don't like me or they said something, they crushed me. We don't want that, do we? And so we have to be careful in our words. On the other side, sometimes we can say things because our emotions are not in check. Do you get that? And so sometimes we can say something and not realize how we came across, but because we ourselves are hurt, or we ourselves are angry, or what, ticked off, whatever, we said something and we just... So that's why I said we need to know how to identify our emotions and our feelings and know when something is what a hot topic or a hot spot to me. Something that I guard against it. Okay, I know I don't want to go to that subject right now because that's a hot topic to me. Whatever, we need to learn our emotions and who we are, because we all are emotional people. And then it'll help us to be able to guard our mouth when we speak. This is an ongoing subject. I know by no means am standing here telling you I'm a perfectionist at this. By no means. I'm not saying I'm a perfectionist at this at all. It's an ongoing challenge to every person. And I've worked with elder people, I've had older people in their 90s apologize to me for something they said. Because we all have to be careful, don't we? But I'm just letting us know in this message how that we as people interact, and how we also have to be aware of our emotions, that others have emotions, and we all have burdens. We all have cares. We all have things that we're not probably telling other people. You know, we're shouldering these on our shoulders, and maybe somebody may have lost a loved one just recent. I was helping someone one time, and they were just really quiet and just down. I could feel in their feelings and their emotions that they were down. And come to find out, you know, their dad had died, and they let me know after a while. The way you can be a help to someone is to give them a safe place to feel. I'm not at you. I'm not trying to, you know, there's some ways of comforting that can make a person feel safe where they can express their emotions. And I may not be able to go into all that tonight because there's so much to this. But what I want to identify is we have to know who we are, and we don't want to offend a brother or a sister. It says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. How many have, and I'm just going to be frank, how many have left the assembly, our assembly, because of what was said to them, what was done to them? But mostly they got hurt. They got offended. And we think we want to win them back. But there's such a barrier there. And maybe even the person that offended them doesn't even come to church anymore. Or perhaps that person died and they're still not coming. You know? Met a young man not long ago. We were at Taco Bell, and he came over to talk to us. He used to come to church here. His parents did. And he came over, and I talked to him. Jennifer, Darlene, and I were together. And he said, you know, I used to go to the church, but he said, since Rodney passed away, I don't come anymore. He said, Rodney always made me feel so welcome. He always included me in everything. He's about 3 years or 4 years younger than Rodney. But he said, I just don't come anymore. And I said, well, you can still come. There's still friendly people at the church, you know. And he said, well, it's just not the same or something, you know. But you see, that made him feel welcome because he was included in. And he's not really, he didn't really say he was offended or hurt, but he's just saying, I'm not feeling welcome. But I said, well, you come on. There's still some that'll be glad to see you and know who you are, you know. So people that are offended are hard to be won. Or people that don't have good feelings, you know, that put up a barrier, they're hard to bring in once they've been offended or they've got some barrier there. And Lord, help us to be careful. It's best not to ever put the barrier there. Jesus said in one scripture, and I don't think I have it written down, so I might ask for help. He said that it is better to put a millstone around your neck. Yes, look that up. To put a millstone around your neck and throw you into the deepest depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Jesus said that. And I think it's in Matthew. It may be recorded in more than one of the Gospels. I didn't write that scripture down. I just thought of it. But that is very true. When I was young, I had a time with my mouth. We talked about extroverts and introverts, and I have to admit I'm an extrovert, and I've learned to be tempered. But when I was a young girl, I talked a lot, and I said a lot of things I shouldn't. And my mom would always say to me, Connie, be careful with your mouth. It is better for you to be the one offended than for you to offend somebody. Did you find that, Brother Michael? Okay. Matthew 18:6, thank you. And she would quote this to me. She would say, Matthew 18:6, be careful what you say. Yes, it says, but who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. And she said, you don't want to be offensive with your mouth. You know, be careful what you say. And then I had to do some apologizing, and that really helped me out because I didn't want to do any more apologizing. That was tough. And so, but we have to be careful in how we say things to people and what we say. Okay? Now, on the other side of it, sometimes then we need to be aware of our emotions, because we do often have sad times. We have times when we're hurt, times when we're sad. And know when we have those feelings that that's maybe a time we need to be careful of what we say to somebody that we meet. And then there's a safe place too. So let's go on. It says in Proverbs 27:4. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. It says a full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Okay? Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. We're going to take out some of these places here. It says, who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Think about that. Open rebuke is better than secret love. What about when Jesus was with his disciples? Think about Peter and think about Judas. Peter was very spontaneous, was he not? And he said things that just came to his mind. And Jesus rebuked him. Remember how Jesus rebuked Peter when they were in Jerusalem, going there, and Jesus said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And Peter said, no, you don't want to go there. They'll take your life. And Jesus rebuked Peter. And then Peter said, I'll stay with you until I'll defend you until death. I'll stay with you. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. He rebuked Peter, did he not? And we know Peter probably had intentions of defending Jesus because he had a sword. And when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, what'd he do? He had that sword, and he was ready. Whenever they came to take Jesus, took that sword, he was going to defend Jesus. Cut off that high priest's servant's ear. Did Jesus say, thank you, Peter? He said, no, Peter, put up your sword. And he took that ear and put it back on the servant's head. He rebuked Peter, did he not? And then Peter, when they took Jesus, he was probably a little bit angry within himself. And when they were there in the courtyard and he was warming his hands by the fire, the maiden said, I think you're one of them. You speak like a Galilean. No, I'm not. I'm not, Peter said. Three times he said he was not of Jesus. And then the cock crowed. And what happened? Jesus looked at Peter. And that look rebuked Peter. You did wrong, Peter. You did what I said. And what did Peter do? He went out and cried, did he not? He went out and cried. However, think of Judas. What did Judas do? He said, he told the Sanhedrin, I'll give Jesus over to you for 30 pieces of silver, and the man I kiss is the one you can take. And some historians say it's because John and Jesus favored, I don't know. But anyway, when they were there in the garden and the soldiers came in with the torches and the swords and all to take Jesus, and Judas came up to him, and what did he do? He kissed him. And they took Jesus. He betrayed him. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Sometimes people can use flattering words to try to manipulate. And they'll use words to draw you in. Oh, you really look good today. And, you know, but underneath, their intentions are to maybe win you to do something that you shouldn't, or there might be some intentions there for their gain and for your hurt. But if you have a faithful friend, somebody that you know really loves you, somebody that really cares about you, and that faithful friend comes to you and says, I would like to have a visit with you, and I'd like to talk to you about something. That faithful friend is valuable to you. If they can help you with your emotions, if they can help you. Sometimes it's nice to have a faithful friend as a sounding board. That's really nice. To have somebody that you can go to and you can say, right now, I'm really feeling angry. I know I'm feeling angry and I don't want to feel this way. But this person hurt me and I'm feeling so angry and I need you to help me. And let me talk it out with you. and then let's have prayer. You know, I got to have some help in this. That's a very helpful friend, to have somebody like that. But we have to identify our emotions, and we have to know when we need help like that, and then be able to ask for help. Pardon? Yes, because it's nice to have somebody like that. Companion, sometimes it's a sister, you know, friend, parent, but somebody that you can talk to and you can tell your feelings to, or they can talk to you about your feelings. That's very helpful. They talk about that a lot for people that have mental illness and all. You need a sounding board. You need somebody that you can talk to and tell your deep emotions, how you're feeling, and then they can help you to work through it and get on a steady plane where you're not just feeling all the time tense and anxious and worried and all, but you can get to a place where you can have prayer. We're going to get into that. Where you can be more on a steady plane. And so that's what this is saying. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, somebody that will tell you what you need to hear and not just gloss it over, like say, oh, you're okay. No, you need to really work on this area right here. You do have something here that's bothering you that you need to take care of. That's a faithful friend. And it says, go down, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. There's sweetness in that. There's a sweetness there that can help us to find a peace. But it comes through, we need a friend that knows the Lord. It comes from the Lord. I was going to tell you about the person in the Bible that did a lot of crying out whenever they got their thumb hit by the hammer. And it was a man after God's own heart, David. If you look in the Psalms, read the Psalms. They are full of David crying out for help, right? My soul is distressed. I mean, just pick out one and it will, you'll read it. It says, of the poor man, this is Psalms 34 and 6. Just go through there. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. He goes on and he'll say, let them be ashamed. This is Psalms 34, farther on down in 26. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yet let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He's saying to the Lord, he's crying out. He's saying, Lord, I am distressed. Lord, there's places where he says that. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of the shield and buckler and stand for mine help. Help me, Lord. I got to have help. Help. My thumb's hurt. I got hit. I'm hurting. I need help. And he's crying out. Do you think that's pleasing to the Lord? He was a man after God's own heart. So he cried out, and he got help. All through his life, David was a faithful servant. Never once did he, well, he sinned. He did some things wrong. But he was faithful to take care of that and get it right. And he died in the Lord, a faithful servant of God. And God honored him. And so, but he was a crier. He cried out. He cried for help. So, you know, we think sometimes, I'm not going to tell anybody I got hurt. I'm keeping it. I'm just going to keep it until I die. I got hurt and nobody's going to know it. And you know what happens? It's going to start festering, right? That hurt is going to get worse. It's going to get deeper because what happens is it stays on our mind. Just like we used to say, like a broken record going around and around and around. Those that know about the records, the RC records, you know, goes around and around and around in your brain. What they said to me. And then it gets worse. They probably meant da, 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 da. They probably did it for, oh, somebody else told them to hurt me. And it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it just goes around and around, and I'm hiding it. How are you doing today? Just fine, just fine, just fine. But it's an emotional pain. And it's just as real as a physical pain. It's just as real as breaking your arm or, having a headache. It's just as real. And it will, emotional pain will cause, if it gets worse and worse, it can cause physical pain. Because like I said, it's your mind reports to your brain. Your brain then reports to your nerves. You've been hurt. So you start feeling this stomach ache. And then you start feeling like, I'm so tired. I just gotta go to bed. I'm just so tired. And it starts wearing on you if it's a real deep hurt. And then before long, you start feeling maybe sick. It just goes on like that. And that is a way that the devil can work then on a person and bring them out, pull them away from the Lord, pull them away from the Lord. Because I've been hurt and I'm just feeling sick and I'm hiding it. But the Lord wants us to be like David and cry out, help, Lord, I was hurt. That's not a sin. That's not bad. I got hurt and I need you to help me. However I can get help. If I need to pray this through on myself, I will. But Lord, if I need to go to someone and confide and we just pray about it and I get over this, let me find, have somebody I can confide in. I need help. I'm not going to keep holding this in because this hurt is going to get to me. And I got to have help. And the Lord is faithful. He's faithful to help us. It says, well, Ecclesiastes, this is one of the places where it says, anger resides in the lap of fools. That's Ecclesiastes 7. That's talking about an emotion. And like I said, this is a very big topic. You can go home and maybe study or read more about it, but there's a lot to it. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8, it says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Wait a minute. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8. Maybe I have, it might be wrong. It might be Proverbs. Is it 9? Oh, 7 and 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit. Oh, yes, there you go. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. And when you allow it to continue, if it does a hurt, becomes, after a while, some anger there. And then it can become bitterness and becomes festered. And it'll just keep getting worse until there's some help to it. The Lord wants us to let go. And hurts are real. They're not, I'm not saying that they are not something that, we've all had our hurts. All of us have. If you live very long, you're going to have hurts. Even little children, when they're playing together and maybe one little child gets shunned, they'll come and say, he won't play with me anymore. Or, they said they don't like me anymore. Those are hurts to those little children. We might think, oh, well, that's just silly. Go back and play. No, that's a hurt to that child. And we need to teach our children, be careful. Don't say that. I'll tell you what. When I was a child, we never said, I hate you, to our brother or sister. We got in bad trouble. We never said it. We learned very, very young. My mom said, you do not ever say you hate your brother. You got your mouth washed out with soap. You get in a little argument with your brother, don't you ever say you hate him. That's stinging words. You never say to him, I wish you weren't born. Nope, you never say that. You teach children young to be respectful to each other when they're little. And then as they get older, it comes a little more natural. But we were, there's things like that we have to learn. Things that can be said that can hurt. Had a little book here that was saying a lot of the different things that can be said to a person to make them hurt. I don't know if I can find it real fast, but criticizing unjustly and degrading, demanding false confessions from somebody, that can be hurtful. demanding unrealistic expectations and demeaning, denying that the abuse is wrong, destroying credibility, insulting and humiliating and gossiping, interrupting somebody constantly, or laughing at abusive behavior, lying or truth-twisting, or making fun of someone's fears. All these things that are done by the mouth can be very painful to other people, to somebody, to all of us. And we don't want to do it. We want to be careful about it. But if it has been done to us, there is healing for it. Mocking and name-calling, playing verbal mind games, ridiculing, shaming, slandering, switching reality, all these things can be verbal abuse that can cause pain and make any of us feel bad if it's done to us. And like I said, we don't want to be the one doing it, but if it's done to us, there's healing. There's healing for it. Jesus was one that took people in, and he knew the hearts and minds of people, and he knew how to soothe those that were weary, those that had hurts and wounds. He not only healed the body, but Jesus healed emotional pains. He did it over and over, and he still does it today. And that's why people loved him so much. In John 15, in closing, 15 and 12, so this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Jesus put that commandment in place because he had shown the disciples so much compassion, and how he had compassion on the people and the ones that came to him for healing. He healed and he blessed. He took the little children. And in that time, in that day and time that Jesus was living, children were not really valued very much. In our society, because of the Christian values of our society, there's laws and rules about abusing children. And if they're violated, you know, the law can step in. Doesn't do perfect work, but, you know, it can. But in that time, there was no protection for children. And children were the property, basically, of the parents. And I'm saying that in the way that they were not seen the way we see them today. When the children were brought to Jesus, when he was sitting there, remember, and the mothers were bringing the children, and the disciples, what did they say? Send them away. Just send those children away. Jesus is too busy to be bothered with them. But what did Jesus say? Suffer the little children to come unto me. I want them to come and sit on my lap. I want to hold them. I want to bless them. I want to put my hands upon them and bless them from the Father. He had so much love and compassion that he reversed the negative thinking of that society of pounding down the weak and harming the weak. Wherever Christianity goes, true Christianity, it builds up the weak and helps women and children most of all. Most of all. Wherever true Christianity goes, history, true history has proven that. Wherever Christianity goes, it lifts up the standard of living for children and women. Because Jesus taught to take care of the weak and the poor, not to abuse them. Not to take advantage of them, because that emotional pain can become generational. And Jesus said, stop that and lift up and encourage. Instead of saying negative things, turn around and say positive. You know, you can use a carrot in front of the car. I think Brother Philip used that illustration this morning in his message. You can use a carrot in front of the cart to make the donkey go and not hardly ever have to use the whip. You take that carrot away and you're going to probably have a stubborn donkey. And that's the way it was with children, but all of us. We have a desire, a hope to do better, do we not? All of us, to keep motivated, to keep going. We need a hope in front of us. We need a hope of heaven, but we also need a hope that people care about us. We need a hope that we're valuable. The three things all people need is love, security, and significance. And we need a hope that we have that in life to keep us going. Jesus supplies that. He supplies those three things. He gives people hope of heaven, hope of a better life. He gave love and compassion unconditionally. And he gave people a meaning, significance. Your significance in life is do my Father's work, just like he said. Like I have done, you do my Father's work. You go out and help others like I've done it. So he gave significance to people. That's what all of us need. Every person on the face of this earth needs those three things. Jesus supplies them. And they have to do with our emotional needs. We need that. Okay? So when we live for the Lord, let us be aware we need those things. And all of our brothers and sisters and the people we come in contact, they have those needs. Fill up their bucket. Fill it up. Instead of depleting it with negative, fill it up. But don't do it in a, you know, do it sincerely. Fill it up, you know. Appreciate what you did. Hey, without you, we couldn't have got that job done, you know. You have some meaning here. I'm glad you came in to help, or, you know, just compliments are much more meaningful when they're sincere too. But fill up people's feeling of significance. Realize that we all have that need. Excuse me. And like I said, friends are very important. Jesus called us a friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And if we have ever a need that we don't know if we are able to open up to somebody else for a while, for sure you can with the Lord. I have never once in all my life gone to the Lord with a deep need and cried out to him without him coming to my rescue. He's always had time for me in the middle of the night, day, any time. Lord, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. I need help. I cry, okay? When I get my thumb hurt, when I get my emotions hurt, I might not tell people, but I cry. I cry. I don't stuff it in. I cry. But I cry. I need help. I need a Band-Aid. I got hurt. Lord, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with it? And the Lord can come to our rescue. And he can help us. He can heal us. He can heal the brokenhearted. That's the scripture. Darlene loved that scripture for a long time. The Lord healeth the broken in heart. He does. And when our emotions are hurting and we feel sad or we feel angry or we feel hurt or whatever our needs might be, the Lord can come to our rescue and he can help us. But we have to identify those emotions and know what they are that we're feeling, so that when we come to the Lord, he can help us. And then, too, it's valuable to have a friend, somebody that we can maybe have confidence in, that we can talk to and ask them to help us to pray, maybe be a sounding board, a safe place. The Lord is very compassionate. He said he will not, a bruised reed, he will not break, and a contrite spirit, he will not despise. So when we come before the Lord, he wants us to be honest, because he knows our feelings anyway. And sometimes I've tried to mask it. I'd be honest. I've said, Lord, you know, that whatever happened. And the Lord said, you were angry. Oh, I wasn't angry. Yes, you were. You were angry. No, I wasn't angry. It just, you know, I just didn't feel good about it. But you were angry. Okay, Lord, I was angry. Why did I feel angry? You know? And it's not that that's sinful. it's emotions. We all have emotions. And when you get saved and sanctified, it doesn't mean you don't have emotions. I fell into that trap when I was a young person, and I got saved at 14 at Christmas Day. Christmas Eve I got saved. And then I got sanctified at Monarch that following few months later. And when I got sanctified, I thought I wouldn't have any more feelings, as in never get angry, never get hurt at somebody, never. And I thought that. I truly did. I thought sanctification meant I would not have any more anger, any more hurt feelings about people at all. I'd just be totally, like, I guess I thought I'd just live, like, joyful all the time. And then it didn't happen. And I thought, I can't be saved and sanctified anymore. It's too hard. And I went to the altar crying. I said, I can't live it because I'm not perfect. I keep having feelings like, you know, emotions. I didn't call it that at the time, but that's what it was. And my grandma prayed with me. And grandma said, sanctification does not mean you will not have emotions, but it means you'll have a helper, a comforter, to help you with those emotions. You know, to give you grace, to give you strength, to give you guidance through those emotions. That's what it means. And she read where it says there in the Bible, Matthew, where Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's what I was stumbling over. She said he was perfect in love. And perfect love casts out fear. And perfect love makes you able to come to the Father for help. And that really helped me. The Father loves us perfectly. So we can have perfect love toward the Father. We can come to the Father openly and give him our petitions and our needs, and he's willing to hear us and he will help us. So maybe these few thoughts will be of help to you. They've been a blessing to me. And like I said, there's so much to cover. There's other things, but it's a big subject. Thank you for your time.